It's 2007, and Steve Jobs is standing in a room full of Apple engineers, holding what looks like a small piece of black glass and aluminum. This is a prototype iPhone, the device that would change everything. But Jobs isn't looking at the screen. He's not testing the software. He's not looking at the application integration. He's just holding it. He runs his thumb along the edge. He shifts it from hand to hand. He turns it over, feeling the weight distribution. Then he sets it down and says, well, doesn't feel right. The engineers are confused. The technology is revolutionary. The interface is groundbreaking. But Jobs isn't thinking about that right now. He's thinking about something much more fundamental. How this device feels in a human hand. Over the next 6 months, Apple went through dozens of prototypes, different materials, different curves, different weight. Jobs would hold each one for maybe 30 seconds, then neither nod of approval or shake his head. It needs to feel inevitable, he kept saying, like it was meant to be held. Finally, one day, Jobs picked up a prototype, held it for his usual few seconds, and smiled. This is it, he said. This feels right. That feel-based decision, that intuitive sense of rightness, led to the most successful product launch in history. Jobs trusted his hands, his instinct, his feel, and it changed the world. Now, you might be wondering, what Steve Jobs and the iPhone have to do with my golf game? Everything. Actually, because what Jobs understood, what every golfer understands, is that feel isn't some mystical gift. It's a skill. And like any skill, you can train it, develop it, and get better at it. Hey, this is Hanju Lee, and you're listening to Better Golf Academy. I'm here to share the best secrets of improving your score without boring you with mechanical swing tips. It's all about strategy and your mental game. So are you ready? All right, let's go. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Better Golf Academy podcast. I am your host, Hanju Lee. Thank you all so much for listening and being here. Did you guys all have a good week? I had a great week. Took a mini vacation, spent some time in Reno. If you know me, that's where I grew up. I played a round of golf at Red Hawk. That's my favorite childhood golf course, the lake course. Of course, that's the public one. One of my favorite. A huge shout out to Casey, who's a director of golf there. Took really, really good care of me there. And I got to spend some time at Lake Tahoe. And I don't know about you, and I haven't been to all the lakes in the country, but dang, I just love Lake Tahoe vibe. Maybe because it was such a huge part of my childhood weekends, but I had an amazing time watching sunset, bike rides, beaches, walks, all that stuff. So, okay, I have a question. Are you a feeler? If you're not a feeler, then are you a thinker? And if you're saying, dude, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the most well-known personality assessment. You go through a series of questions and the test makes an assessment. It has like thinking versus feeling dimension that looks at whether you prefer to make decision based on a logical analysis, thinker, or based on values and how decisions affect people, feeler. So you might be an INFP or feeling oriented person, or an INTJ, thinking oriented person. In golf, are you a feel player? Or are you more of a technical player. If you're a feeler by personality trait and you are a feel player or a thinker or a technical player, I'm trying to do some research trying to figure out if there's a direct correlation between your personality versus your golf personality, right? But I can't find any. So let me know if you find anything out there. But if you're wondering what the difference between a feel player and a technical player, here are some examples. For instance, if you never had a swing lesson or never even desired a swing lesson and you just simply play by intuition and creativity, you might be a feel player. Or do you approach golf like an engineering problem with detailed calculation and systematic analysis like Bryson DeChambeau, right? If you're that, then you might be a technical player. So let's do a deeper dive. Feel players tend to be more spontaneous and adaptable. They tend to be more comfortable with ambiguity. They're intuitive decision makers, refers to player who rely primarily on like instinct and feel and experience rather than a strict data, mechanics, or analysis when making choices on the course. Okay, these golfers tend to trust their gut rather than overthinking things, right? Or you tend to be more creative and artistic, and you tend to be more present focused. Now, technical players tend to be more systematic and methodical, more comfortable with data and analysis. They tend to be more logical decision makers, more detail oriented, and they're planning focused. But before we get more into it, let's take a step back and ask ourselves, bro, what is feel? So, yo, ChatGPT, what is feel? Okay, I'm gonna talk in robotic voice. That is this is what ChatGPT said. That is such a fundamental question that we rarely stop to think about it. Okay, thanks, ChatGPT. Feeling is actually several different things happening simultaneously. Okay, all right, tell me more. Okay, physically, neurologically, psychologically, and socially, okay? Breaks it down to four. Physically, feelings are your body's chemical and electrical responses. When you feel anxious, your heart rate increases, stress hormones release, muscles tense. When you feel happy, different neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin are active. So feelings have a literal, measurable, biological component. Okay, neurologically, feelings are your brain's way of rapidly processing and summarizing complex information. When you walk into a room and feel something is off, your brain has unconsciously noticed a dozen of subtle cues. Body language, tone of voice, facial expressions, and delivered a summary judgment as a feeling. Okay, psychologically, feelings are your internal guidance system. They are how your mind signals what's important, what's dangerous, what's rewarding. Fear keeps you alive. Love bonds you to others. Curiosity drives learning. Disgust protects you from toxins. Okay, let's talk about socially. Socially, feelings are communication tools. When you feel empathy, you're literally syncing with someone else's emotional state. When you feel guilty, you're getting feedback about social boundaries. So, do you get a sense that feeling is pretty dang important? It can really shape your mood. It can really inspire you into action. It can convince you to make a significant change in your life, or even simple insignificant change. And it can, wait for it, help you play better golf. And in the context of golf, feeling is really about intuitive processing. Your ability to integrate massive amounts of information below the conscious level and access that integrated wisdom through bodily sensation and emotional impulses. Okay, well, what are you talking about? Okay, Colin Morikawa recently hit the news because he started playing without a glove and start practicing without a glove. And all these reporters that are watching going, dude, what's going on? What's going on? So they asked him in the press conference, and it was all about feel. Here, take a listen.
Thanks for coming over. Our team back at the office had noticed you kind of some shots glove on, some glove off.
Yeah.
Could you discuss and explain?
Yeah, and it was, it's been a few day progress. Look, I feel like I've been putting good swings on it, and they just keep missing in the same spot. So it's not like my misses are all over the place. I just keep missing 30 feet left. And look, when it comes down to it, our hands are what makes us such good athletes and such good golfers, is that we have so much feel. And for some reason, when I've taken the glove off this week, it's kind of worked. I started seeing shots that I was hitting, and you know, even the bad ones were not good, but like, that's kind of where I expect them to be. And it was just a back and forth kind of thing.
How many shots did you hit, roughly?
Yeah, quite a bit. I'd say most of the approach shots. I only hit a few approach shots with the glove. I mean, wedges were gloves, and but most of the irons were pretty good. I mean, 16 was exactly how I'm used to seeing shots. Obviously, it doesn't have to be 5 feet, but, like, just the curvature of the shot is what I was, like, really, really happy to see about that.
Had you done that in competition before?
Never, never. So it's very, very weird, trust me.
Was there someone that suggested it, or you just kind of figured it out?
No, no, I was sitting on the range on Monday, just kind of working by myself. And, you know, I've done bare feet, so, like, no shoes, and that normally works, but I don't think I'm going to do that. So it's just trying a bunch of things. Look, we're crazy. Like, honestly, we're crazy because we try a lot of things, but that's what makes us really good, is that, you know, we're trying to find the little things. Even though last week I think I was, you know, top five or whatever in approach, it's like, I know I can get better and feel more comfortable. You know, even though it ends up close, it's a comfort factor of just being less stressed out there.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you. Thanks,
guys. I love that part when he says, listen, we're all crazy and we're always trying out new things out here. okay. When you remove that thin layer of leather between your hands and the grip, everything changes, right? You feel every vibration through impact. You sense exactly where the ball is contacting on the club face. You can tell immediately if your grip pressure is too tight, if you're holding on for your dear life through transition. Morikawa talked about how it forced him to be more aware of his hand throughout the swing. Without the glove, he had to trust his natural grip and really focus on maintaining consistent pressure. He said it made him more conscious of how his hands were working through impact, something that's crucial for distance control and shot shaping. But here's a key insight. Morikawa wasn't trying to play better golf that day. He was training his feel. He was deliberately putting himself in a situation that would heighten his sensory awareness and develop his touch. Bro, listen. Feel is a skill. You don't just wake up with the perfect distance control or ability to shape shots on command. You develop these abilities through deliberate practice that challenges your sensory system. So I know what you're asking. What are some of the sensory awareness that can help with your game? Well, I'm glad you asked. Ready? Distance control feel. When you're hitting a wedge to a pin 85 yards away, your feel is your body's integrated calculation of swing length, tempo, acceleration. Without a glove, Colin senses exactly how much grip pressure he was using and how that affected his release through impact. Tiny variation that changes distance by like 5 to 10 yards. Okay, impact quality feel. Through his bare hands, Colin would instantly feel whether he caught the ball first, then the turf, or if it was slightly heavy or thin. The immediate tactile feedback told him about his angle of attack and low point control in the way a glove dampens. Okay, club release feel. Without a glove, he could sense exactly when and how the club was releasing through impact. Was he holding on too tight? Blocking shots right? Was he flipping his hands and hitting left? His hands became a direct feedback system. Tempo and rhythm feel. The bare grip gave him an instant feedback about his grip pressure through the swing. When you get quick or anxious, your hands usually tighten up first. Without a glove, I bet he could feel that tension immediately and make adjustments. Lie, turf, and feel. Playing from different lies, uphill, downhill, thick, rough, your hands can feel how the club is interacting with the ground. Without a glove, I bet Colin got much more detailed information on how the turf conditions were affecting his strikes. Weather and condition, feel. On a humid day or with morning dew, the bare grip gives you direct feedback about how conditions are affecting your hold on the club and your swing. These are all examples of your body rapidly processing complex physical information and delivering as feel, the same kind of integrated processing that happens when you walk into a room and sense the mood, or when you feel like a decision is right or wrong. So now let's talk about how tour professionals systematically develop their feel, because in contrary to what everybody might think, most of these guys weren't born with this supernatural touch. They built it through the years of specific training. Take someone like Phil Mickelson. Everyone talks about his incredible short game feel, but Phil spent thousands of hours as a kid hitting balls with different clubs around his yard. He tried to land balls in buckets, hit shots under the branches, play games where he had to hit specific yardage with different clubs. He was training his feel system without knowing it at an early age. Or look at C.V. Ballesteros, probably the most creative shot maker in golf history. C.V. grew up playing on a beach in Spain with just a few clubs. He had to learn to hit every possible shot with whatever club he had in his hand in the sand. That environment forced him to develop incredible feel and adaptability. But here's what's really, really interesting. Tour pros continue to work on feel throughout their careers using very specific methods. What methods, Hanju? Okay, let me tell you. Tempo training. Most pros spend their time hitting balls with dramatic different tempos. They hit a wedge shot at 50% speed, then 75, and their normal tempo. This teaches them how tempo affects distance and helps them develop consistent rhythm under pressure. Variable lie training. They practice hitting shots from uphill, downhill, sidehill lies regularly, not just to learn technique, but to develop the feel for how different lies affect ball flight and distance. Instead of us just hitting off of a flat mat, you know, every single day on the range, right? Okay, pressure training. Many pros will create artificial pressure during practice. They'll play games where they have to hit specific targets or make certain shots to win. This helps them learn how their feel changes under stress and how to maintain touch when it matters the most. So multi-club distance training, here's a great one. They pick a specific yardage, say 100 yards, and they learn to hit it with multiple clubs, like wedge or 9-iron, 8-iron, even 7-iron. This develops incredible distance control and teaches them how different club feels for the same distance. Some even do this blindfold training where they actually practice short game shots with their eyes closed. This forces them to rely entirely on feel, develop their awareness. The key here is that all of these methods are systematic. They're not just going out and hoping to find their feel that day. They're using specific drills and training method to develop and maintain their touch. Jason Day talks about how he spends the last 30 minutes of every practice session on what he calls feel work. Shots where he's not thinking about technique at all, and he's just trying to hit specific distances and trajectories based purely on feel. Going back to, hey, are you a feel player or a technical player? Here's where it gets really, really interesting. Some of the best players combine both approaches. Tiger Woods is incredibly technical in his preparation. He knows exact yardages, studies course condition obsessively. He has very systematic routines. But when he's over the ball, he's playing on pure feel and instinct. And some players have deliberately moved between styles, like Jason Day, very technical early in his career, but worked with coaches to develop more feel-based approach. Conversely, some natural feel players have added technical elements to become more consistent. Okay. So we're all convinced that whether you're a field player or a technical player, feel is still a huge part of your swing and strategy. It's important enough to take some time to do your own inventory on your own game and figure out what you can do to develop and master the feel in your game. So I'm going to help you. Here are three keys that I want you to walk away with this episode. Three keys. Okay, number one, feel can be systematically trained. Okay, we talked about this already, but just to reiterate, this isn't about hitting the balls and hoping to find it. Tour pros use specific, deliberate methods to develop feel. Collins' no-glove experiment isn't random. It's a systematically training method that forces heightened sensory awareness. And neuroscience backs this up. Research shows that sensory integration, your brain's ability to process and combine information from multiple sources, absolutely improves with deliberate practice. When you force your nervous system to work harder through variable practice, you literally build new neural pathways. Whoa, okay. Okay, number two, feel develops over time with experience. If feel was just a natural talent, it would peak early and stay consistent, but that's not what we see. Larry Mize wasn't known for his touch early in his career. He systematically developed his short game feel through his 20s and 30s. His famous chip-in at Augusta came after years of deliberate feel development. Even players with natural touch continue to work on it. This is because feel is really about pattern recognition. The more situations you encounter, the more reference points you build. A tour pro who hits thousands of 50-yard shots from different lies has a massive database of feels to draw from. And that's experience, not genetics. There's a term called perceptual learning. Basically, it says that perceptual skills like judging distances, impact, quality, the equipment feel, all those things improve with experience. Perfect example, wine tasting. I looked this up. The wine expert's brain is simultaneously processing dozens of different odor compounds, temperature, texture, acidity, and countless other variables. Through years of deliberate practice, they've trained their neural networks to recognize the patterns in this complex sensory data and translate into useful judgments about quality, about origin, and characteristics of wine. And this is exactly what's happening when a golfer develops feel for distance control. When you're standing over a 75-yard wedge shot, your brain is processing the lie, the wind condition, the pin position, the green firmness, your current energy level, the weight of the club in your hands, a dozen other variables. A player with developed feel has trained their sensory integration system to take all of this complex information and deliver a clear sense of like exactly how hard to swing and what tempo to use. The key insight from this perceptual learning research is that this isn't about developing a better hardware. Wine experts don't have more sensitive taste buds, and great feel players don't have more sensitive hands. Instead, it's about developing better software, more sophisticated pattern recognition, and integrating system that can extract more useful information from the same sensory input. The wine research shows this happens through what scientists call a successive exposure with conscious attention. Every time a wine expert deliberately focuses or identifying, like remembering specific characteristics, they are strengthening neural pathway that connects sensory input into meaningful categories. Every time a golfer pays conscious attention to how a particular swing feels and how it affects ball flight, they're building the same kind of sophisticated sensory memory library. Whoa, you guys getting all this? This is so cool. Okay, number three, feel can be lost and regained. Here's a clincher. If Phil was just a natural talent, you couldn't lose it. But we see players lose their feel all the time due to injury, equipment changes, or swing modification, or just lack of practice. And then here's the key. They can systematically rebuild it. Tiger Woods lost his putting feel during his swing changes in the mid-2000s. But he didn't just hope that it would come back. He worked with putting coaches, changed his routine, and systematically rebuilt his distance control. If it was just natural talent, he would have been stuck. When players change equipment, they often talk about needing time to get the feel of their new clubs. That's not mystical. That's their sensory system adapting to a new feedback and building new reference points. These three principles change everything about how you should approach feel development. It's not about hoping you have good feel days. It's about systematically building a skill that will serve you for your entire golfing life. Great feel players aren't magical. They are just really good at processing and integrating all this sensory information quickly and accurately. And here's the exciting part. Neuroscience research shows us that these sensory integration skills can absolutely be improved through training. Your brain is plastic. It can form new neural pathways and strengthen existing ones based on how you practice. This is why variable practice is so effective for developing feel. When you hit balls from a different lies with different clubs, different target, you're forcing your brain to constantly adapt and recalibrate. Over time, this makes your sensory integration faster and more accurate. There's actually a concept in motor learning called desirable difficulties. The idea that making practice slightly more challenging, like Morikawa, playing without a glove, is actually accelerates learning because it forces your nervous system to work harder and adapt. This is why tour pros often make their practice more difficult than actual playing conditions. They'll practice in windy conditions from terrible lies or with constraints like hitting to a very small target. It's smart training that develops robust feel and adaptability. So let's wrap this up with three core truths about feel that should change how you approach your golf game and your life decisions. Okay, number one, feel can be systematically trained. Number two, feel develops over time with experience. And number three, feel can be lost but regained. Feel isn't mystical. It's something you're born with or without. It's never too late to develop it. Feel is a skill. Specifically, it's your ability to integrate complex information and make fine adjustment based on that integrated understanding. Okay. Here's what I want you to do this week. Download my feel drill. Go to bettergolfacademy.com/feel, F-E-E-L. Pick one of the feel training drill and commit to it. Maybe it's the sensory awareness ladder, the blindfold challenge, or the variable chaos drill. I got three of those. Whatever it is, approach it systematically and consistently. Remember, developing feel takes time. You are literally rewiring your nervous system and building new neural pathways. Be patient with the process, but be consistent with the work. Your golf swing might be limited by your physical abilities, but your feel is only limited by how much time and attention you're willing to invest in development. And unlike flexibility or strength, feel can continue to improve throughout your entire golfing life. So next time someone tells you that so-and-so is just a natural feel player, you'll know better. They're not natural, bro. They're trained. And now you know how to train yours too. Well, thanks for being here today. I learned a bunch diving into this feel stuff, and I hope you did too. And if you did, do me a huge favor. This is a big deal to me. Could you please share this episode with the golfer that needs to hear this? Also, please leave me a review. I would love for you to subscribe, you know, all that stuff, right? But if you want to chat with me, though, go directly to bettergolfacademy.com/hello and leave me a note. I actually reply to every single one of them because, I mean, there aren't thousands. So yet. So I reply to every single one of you guys. So let's keep building this Better Golf Academy community together. But in the meantime, thanks for listening. Seriously, thanks for listening to Better Golf Academy. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you being here. Be awesome and bye for now.